This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget no way they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget no way they turned their backs on Paul Bogle.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM here in the Bahamas. It's a beautiful day for those people out there on the streets. We ask you to continue to buckle up and drive safely. And we want to thank you for tuning in once again to Remark. I'm your host, Garth Roseborough. You go ahead and let your family and friends know that Sunday is just jumping off. With us here today, we're going to talk about rule or fool. Rule or fool. You want to tune into this particular program today. I'm here with none other behind the boards, Wally. It's always good to have him with us. Wishing him and his family great health and financial reward in this year, 2025. I think we all got off to a very beautiful start. I have two other people here in the studio with me. I'm supposed to have had another person, but of course, I'll tell you about that a little bit later. This is still the Bahamas, you know. Things can get a little tight in our country. But to my right, I want to start off with Mr. none other than Darvin Russell. You know, I want to call him Quick, you know, because his mind just moves quickly. And if I don't have Darvin on my right, boy, I don't know. It gets a little tight for me. I can't go home. I can't talk to my friends. They want him here. And then we were joined with a very beautiful lady, very popular to many, very outspoken, Miss Peggy Candace. She's here with us today. It's always beautiful to have her with us. She's a busy lady, but always willing to speak out on behalf of the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So I want to welcome both of them here today. But we want to just lean back a bit. I want you to put your thinking caps on. There's a whole lot going on this majority rule weekend. What I've heard so far is it seems like a lot of interesting things are about to take place in this country. Some clearing down of land is being seen throughout the island of New Providence. Some road projects are also seemingly taking place. There's rumors being spoken about a hospital possibly now about to be constructed. There was a whole lot of hoopla about a new Boeing aircraft that landed recently in Bimini. And so we have a lot to talk about, but I wanted to focus on a topic of rule or fool. And I was hoping that none other than my friend Obi Roberts would have been here today, but I don't see him as yet. But I know that we just all celebrated majority rule, and I wanted to use that as a springboard into a conversation about our nation. If we're going to build this nation, we have to build this nation properly. And when we speak about the majority rule, I want us to go ahead and dissect that, break that down, and make it more plain to me. Just make it more distinct to me. My good friend Darvin Russell, who said to me earlier, we can talk an hour and a half about that, but it's not just us. I'm sure we got a whole listening audience that you too can call in. You can use your telephone and call in at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands on a toll-free number, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4260. 4796. Stop and also say hello to the people, and then we'll allow Peggy Candace to chime in.
Good evening, Bahamas. Good evening, Garth. Good evening, Peggy. It's, as always, great to be here on a beautiful Sunday afternoon in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Good to be alive.
Wonderful. Ms. Peggy, are you smiling over there? What's going on? Tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Life is wonderful. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me here once again. I do thoroughly enjoy this experience. Happy New Year, guys. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we saw you last year.
Happy New Year, Bahamas. Happy Sunday. Happy, happy, happy. I'm in a congregation where we're talking about new, so I'm all excited. I feel the spirit of newness. I feel the spirit of everything working out for my good. 2020, 25 has been prophesied to be the best year of my life, so my hands are lifted to receive. God is indeed good.
Well, thank you for all the blessings upon us today. And for those of you who have been to a house of praise, either it was yesterday on the Sabbath, Seventh-day Sabbath, or today on the Sunday, we want you to continue to pray for us in this nation, to pray for 96.9 Guardian Radio and staff as we continue to stand as the voice for the Bahamian people. So thank you all once again for sacrificing your time today to be here.
Love it.
You know, all along, as a Bahamian, especially after coming back here in 2006 until present, I've been attempting to fit in again. It's almost as if when you were in school and, you know, high school and, you know, you understood your classmates, you understood church members, you understood your community. And then you go off to college and university and you come back. And then you're like a fish out of water. And so to understand the psyche as to how, you know, another generation of Bahamians are thinking, it seems quite arduous. It's almost, you know, painful as you try to fit in. And I don't think many of us have ever really fit in. We're trying to find people of our own mentality, mm-hmm. our own understanding, our own intellect to say, you know what, maybe there's a group of us that can probably, you know, live together and play together. And we don't need to really fit in per se. We just probably just need to be understood to be a Bahamian and as one in the society, but not necessarily one in the mass mm-hmm. of our society. And I found that to be so true. And then they came up with this whole idea of majority rule. Now, as a historian and a theologian, you know, I have a minor in history. I have a major in business and a major in theology. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to think I'm kind of well-rounded. I used to be an engineering major, by the way.
Okay.
So I'm kind of calculating when I'm ready.
Okay.
So I want to break up this conversation into three main words, if I may. Mm-hmm. The first word we're going to look at is the word majority, whether that is a good or bad thing. The second word we're going to look at is rule. You know, what does it mean, rule? And then in the third situation, I want us to look at the word the fool. I want to look at the word fool. And then maybe we can have a conversation about this majority rule. Is it rule or fool? Should we say majority rule or should we say majority fool? I'm just trying to be holy on this Sunday. And so when you hear the word majority, let me start with Peggy Candace, the lady in the room. When you hear the word majority, is that a good or a bad thing?
Majority in a democratic sense is a good thing.
It's good.
In a democratic sense, when it comes to election, the majority rules.
The majority
makes the decision.
Who is this majority?
Well, the majority, and this is how I describe it, especially in the Bahamas, the majority of those people who respect the process enough to show up. How about that?
You're a lawyer or something.
How about that? Who respect the process enough to show up. The majority, whether it be 67%, 56%, whatever the majority of those individuals who respect what is taking place, the important, the significant of electing an administration to minister over our affairs in Parliament, that majority. Now, the difference is that majority turned over power to a minority. That's...
Oh, you want to jump the gun on me?
Go.
But let's go ahead and respect this whole understanding of your definition of majority and how how good it is to be in a majority in order to make effect, just to make effect, make something happen. So it takes a majority over a minority to get a particular result, is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. If that be the case, what is gerrymandering, you would say, Darwin, Russell?
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, am I starting too early?
No.
Because you see,
you came in, you came in hot and heavy early. I wasn't expecting that. You threw me off a little bit there.
It's a holiday weekend.
No, but you know, I stay ready, born ready. Gerrymandering, then, for me, the way that I would think about it, by definition, is you manipulating
numbers.
I guess you can say the natural order. In an unnatural way.
Tell us how that works.
Okay, so, you know, back in the day, the reason why this holiday is so significant is you had a white ruling class who gerrymandered the constituencies where the minority of the population would vote for them, but yet they still ended up with the majority of seats in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And 67 was the first time, for those historians listening, was the first time that you had a fairer representation without the level of gerrymandering that occurred. I believe it was in the 62 election. So gerrymandering would be a manipulation of a process to deliberately make it unfair, if mm-hmm. you will.
So in gerrymandering, you're saying now that it's an unfair situation mm-hmm. where you manipulate the numbers
yes.
in order to gain advantage, even though you're in the minority.
Correct.
Okay, I got you. But folks, this is Remark. This is Garth Rosemary at Remark. I got with me Peggy Candace and Darwin Russell. Like I said, Obi is not here today, and Robin Lyons is going to join me another day. She said, you know, two giants in one cage can't work. You know,
wow.
Two gorillas in one cage.
Wow,
that's
wow.
her and Obi. That's I want to say it's a PLB thing, but Robin says, you know what, I'm a behemoth. She says, I'm a behemoth. Just say it the way it is.
What a missed opportunity.
So now that means that we could play today.
Yeah.
You know, we could go full force with this. Okay, so here it is then. So today we have what they call majority rule weekend. This is majority rule. Mm-hmm. Okay. So based on what Peggy is saying and what you're saying, Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
Then what is the significance then of majority rule historically?
I think the significance of it is the government of the Bahamas decided that it was a day when we went from the minority, I believe they were called as a collective, the Bay Street Boys back in the day, a minority government where the minority race in the Bahamas, mostly white business people, were the leaders, political leaders of the day. Mm-hmm. And they felt because we were a majority black population, that was patently unfair and undemocratic, which we all, I think, from a definition perspective, can agree, at least with that basic premise. We can have a conversation later about whether or not the day itself can be divisive. But be that as it may, so that day represented at the time a watershed event that said, for the first time in our nation's history, the majority of the population, both the popular vote and the number of constituencies, mm-hmm. went in favor of the majority of the population. At the time, I think the vote was 20-18. And we all know, for those of you that have not read Sir Randall Fox's autobiography, it is probably the best.
Most accurate.
That I have mm-hmm. that I have read. And that's I've read Nelson Mandela's autobiography, and I'm not trying to minimize any of the others. I've read autobiographies of Martin Luther King. I have read Malcolm X's autobiography. I have read some of the giants of the world, especially men of color. And I will tell you that book is second to none. And so we know that 20 members of the Progressive Liberal Party, of which Sir Randall Fox, through his vote, in favor of the PLP becoming the majority of the government, along with, I think it was Salvin Brennan, if I'm getting the names correct, who became the Speaker of the House and allowed us to self-govern. Okay. As a majority. So that's the historical context as far as my history remembers.
So what I'm gathering is the majority of the people, the civilians of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. were at a place of discomfort.
Correct.
Where they felt as if they were too subservient to another class of people, as it were, and at that time it was, in quote, racist.
Correct.
A racist control.
Correct.
Is what we're talking about.
Correct.
Am I correct, Peggy?
Yes.
Okay, we're talking racist control. So with the Martin Luther Kings, the Malcolm X's, the Marcus Garveys, and everyone else, mm-hmm. there's a consciousness now that says that we want to be equal.
Yes.
We want to have fair representation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're in the majority, what would then be fair representation? Mm-hmm. Because we understood that 67 did take place. It took place.
Mm-hmm.
But when it took place, I'm going to ask the question now to Peggy first. Mm-hmm. Was it fair representation?
You know, before I go any further, I want to thank the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie for the day off.
Yeah, I know you wanted the time off. You worked too hard. You wouldn't that, stop. You would be on 10 different shows.
Yeah, so.
I go to work too.
I want.
Only you can do that, you know. You must be the Bahamian Wonder Woman.
I want to thank him because that is the great celebration of January 10th for me, a day off, because I really don't esteem it as others do, simply because I look at it and my little knowledge of it is I saw a minority group transfer power to another minority group, representing who represented the majority of the people, if it was by race or by vote. You understand what I'm saying? There's never a thing. I think the word my minority rule is a fallacy. I think it is used to manipulate, to control the minds of the still disadvantaged mm-hmm. majority people. We still black. We still being ruled by a minority black group. But whose life has improved? It gone from racism to classism.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think
what's the difference between the racism and the classism?
The racism is about color, mm-hmm. skin. Oh, the UBP, the Bay Street Boys, mm-hmm. were white.
Okay.
And the deliverer or mm-hmm. those who mm-hmm. came and set the captives free mm-hmm. were black.
Mm-hmm.
And you would assume that going into the theater was one thing,
mm-hmm.
but economic deliverance would be the benefit of black rule.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gone from a white rule
mm-hmm.
being superior
mm-hmm.
to classism, a different elite group of people
wow.
ruling over the black skinned people.
So let me give that a little deeper definition, if I may. Pre-1967,
mm-hmm.
we talk about the Bay Street Boys and those type individuals who had money, economic
mm-hmm.
wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost certain that there were also poor white people then, too.
Sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost certain that pre-1967, there were wealthy black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also certain that there was a whole lot of struggling black people.
Yes. Yes.
So we have poor people on both sides of the divide, only one number larger than the other, and we had wealthy white people on one side and wealthy black people on the other side. The majority of the wealth controlled by the minority in terms of race,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though there were still some of us that had, you know, wealth mm-hmm. as black people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when it came to poverty, we say that there's a minority of the Caucasians that had poverty-stricken lives.
Yes.
Whereas there was masses of us who were basically just dirt poor, mm-hmm. as you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to draw that comparison and broaden this whole idea of 67 and the change that took place for majority rule. What I want to define today, Darvin Russell and Peggy Candace, is what is the celebration about? Why are we celebrating when, to me, there's no equality per se, but there's only a yin and a yang, there's an up and a down. Should the minority white who, you said in quote, would have lost all this power,
should they celebrate Majority Rule Day? Because I'm certain that there were also Caucasian people who fought for majority rule as well. Mm-hmm. I'm certain of that. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone thinks the same based on race and color.
Yes.
If you believe in me that racism only belongs to a few. Mm-hmm. I mean, there may be a whole lot of people who are racist, but there are still some people who have that skin color that are not racist, right? But you have some of the African descended people mm-hmm. who are more racist than some of these Caucasian people. Yeah. I just want to point that out
especially
to you.
Especially on January 10th.
And so the celebration, I'm asking you now, majority rule, is it a good or bad thing? Is it a rule or are we just fools, you know? When we look at the dynamics of this, what was the true intention and why are we celebrating that this weekend? I want to know, what is the celebration? What is the party all about, Darvin Russell?
I don't...
Well, Peggy had me all discombobulated about, to be honest.
But that's very hard to do.
No, about how she...
has been affected or...
Yeah, how she's juxtaposed this issue of a transference from a minority white economic...
group or people,
and race from an ethnic perspective mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to the majority being ruled by now an economic... paraphrasing what you said.
Is a
right?
political. If you look at the representation of our government, mm-hmm. we always have a token or two white people.
Fair enough.
Brent,
mm-hmm. Token.
Mm-hmm. Brent Simonet, and you look at the constituencies.
Sure.
Yes. We have Mr. Adrian White.
Yes.
We have Clay Sweetie
sure.
from Eleuthera.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have about three.
Ryan Pinder, and then you saw Larry Card right back mm-hmm. in
yeah,
the day.
So, yeah, so okay, you always had mm-hmm. little salt and a lot of pepper, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the transfer of power, which was predominantly white at the time, 67, and if you look at the picture that was circulating mm-hmm. on Friday, mm-hmm. it was predominantly black folks.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm.
And so it was in a majority. The numbers didn't change. There was same number of rulers to rule over us. They only represent the black people in color mm-hmm. and race. Mm-hmm. But 58 years later, what has been the change? I heard somebody said, in 67, foreigners had the best job, the best pay. Mm-hmm. 2020. Under black rulership, what has changed for the black person? The black Bahamians are still the source of empowering a minority. The black Bahamian is still just a vote. If you look at the percentage of wealthy whites and wealthy black, it's still a minority. A friend of mine used to say the percentage is 97-3. So you have 3% wealthy ruling over the 97%. And I think it probably even more because, you know, the question of middle class is coming to question. And so you have a minority. Let's continue with 3% mm-hmm. of the wealthy, mm-hmm. the controllers of the wealth. Mm-hmm. And you know wealth is everything. Money is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Who controls and dictate to the 97% mm-hmm. of which empower the 3%. And so when they're making an influence, they ain't listening to no poor folks. Thank God for social media, and you probably could shame an MP into doing some things, like in a big hole on cow pen roll so the hole get fixed the following day. If it was not for the power of social media, the black man, the black woman, the black community will still be at a greater disadvantage as they are now, meaning 58 years later, what has changed?
That's a good question for you, Darvin Russell.
I'll take that.
For those of you, while Darvin is putting that through his mind, you can call in 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Ireland, 300-5720, or send me a text at 422-4796. This is Remark. Go ahead, Darvin Russell.
So, Peggy, as usual, just like Garth, y'all like to be provocative on this radio station.
Truthful.
Submit.
Just truthful.
Yes,
truthfully provocative. How about that?
Yeah, let's go a little deeper. Right. Let's go a little deeper.
So, while I can agree with some of the sentiments Peggy echoed, let me answer it this way about the question she raised regarding what has changed. I don't know, first of all, to contextualize this, if I believe it's a government's responsibility to do anything more than provide equal access or equal opportunity. What you do with that access and opportunity becomes your own personal responsibility. Now, we can have a future show about the systemic issues that plague us all or plague the majority mm-hmm. of us all if we're using that language tonight. But I'll stick a pin in that for to circle back to your question. So there are a few significant things in my mind that has changed. One man, one vote. I don't think we can minimize that, but because we have always had it, none of us in this room were alive, I don't think, or participated during that time. So we benefit off of the shoulders of those that came before mm-hmm. us. So I'm not going to minimize their accomplishments in that way. So one man, one vote was a significant accomplishment. Quality education was a significant accomplishment. The creation of a black middle class has occurred in the last 50 years. That would not have been possible, I do not believe, had majority rule not taken place. So if you just think about those three things in and of themselves, separate and apart from the institutions that got created as mm-hmm. a result of it, which I also don't think would have existed had we not had majority rule. Because, as you mentioned, the white minority class had access, because of their wealth, to all of these things. We, the majority in the population, did not. So I think a significant amount has changed. I think Peggy's issue, and that of so many Bahamians in 2025, is, have we gone far enough? Has the majority rule raised the tide and the success of the majority of the population? And that is a fair argument to make as to whether or not we have done enough. And I know she means the political class in creating the right structure, the right environment where we all can benefit. And in that regard, I would say no, because we still are challenged to find funding, to create jobs, to just navigate life in the Bahamas mm-hmm. as average citizens, regardless of race, as average citizens navigating life in the Bahamas. And that is because the minority political class that rule in quotations over us have not seen it fit to fix these systemic issues that they know but are no longer subject to
mm-hmm. so
that plague us.
So why the celebration again?
So the celebration for me is just a recognition that what was done in 67 is worth celebrating. I think that's all it is. I don't think it's bigger than that. And I think it is an accomplishment worthy of recognition.
But I think it's been hijacked.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Listen, this is Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I mean, this one is a bit tough. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a bit tough. We need you to call in, be a part of this conversation. But hey, we'll be right back and we'll get this thing even more heated. Because I got to go a little deeper. You know I do. I got to go deep. We'll be right back.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
All right, folks, we are back, and I got a text right in here. It says, good afternoon, all, very good show, I guess that's it, but good show. Peggy's right, the black minority has ruled us for the past 50 plus years, and they're trying to get rid of the middle class. Then we would be like other countries where you have the rich and the poor. I don't think we had to have a day off to celebrate. Now, well, a day off is only good for those people who just want that time off. There's many of us that don't want a day off. We just want to make some more money. And most holiday celebrations, for those who want to work on a holiday, they can actually make more money. Sometimes even 2-3 times the amount of money. So holidays has its privileges. It depends on how you look at it. If you're a middle-class person who want to get rich, you work on a holiday. But if you're a poor man who want to stay poor, go there and celebrate. But we know you're rich, Peggy. We know you're rich. You just don't need no more money, you know? Darwin Russell, here's my issue.
Yes, sir.
I look at the Bahamas pre-1967, and I saw a picture today on social media of Saunders Beach, pre-1967.
Okay.
I know I'm a tough guy. Mm-hmm. I know I'm the strongest that they could ever come. Mm-hmm. I started crying.
Okay.
When I saw the pristine beauty of that picture, I mean just the innocence of it all, I cried. It wasn't because there was a Caucasian class that had, in quote, the wealth. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because that, you know, people at the time had been oppressed because they felt that other people was in power or because we were on the verge of majority rule. Mm-hmm. I cry just for the simplicity that our country had to offer its enemy. Mm-hmm. And I felt in the picture that this is the place where the creator has to live.
Okay.
If I look at that same scene on Saunders Beach today, I don't get that feeling.
Okay.
I feel as if even as we attempted to progress as a people, we have taken 10 steps backward.
Okay.
I heard you speak so well, and I like what you said about what the whole 67 idea meant in terms of majority rule. I don't like the term majority rule, by the way. But I looked at this middle class definition that you gave us, access to education and access to managerial jobs, etc. And even now, it's like Peggy said, 2024, we have open access to education, bread, and they have no mouth to eat with. What's the sense? They can't chew it, they can't bite it, they can't swallow it. They have to eat through a tube. You're giving them a whole loaf, but the only way they can eat is through a tube. So what's the sense giving them the bread? We have education all throughout this country. Who's taking advantage of the education? We have a health system in this country that's supposed to be for the majority, but the majority of us know that we do not ever, ever, ever want to go in that health system, not us. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, no, please don't send me there. The majority of us don't have the jobs that we fought for in 67 to the type jobs that we would like to have. You're an educated man and a businessman. Peggy is a very articulate individual. Here I am with multiple degrees. By life standard, have we really truly attained the level of existence that we should have? The type of country that we're now living in, to me, and I must say this to everyone listening, you can fight me if you want, I feel as if I'm living in 1965.
Whoa.
Okay. Can I answer?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Peggy, if you'll permit me.
Please.
Because I think this conversation is very important that we're having. And yes. I want the young people listening and those that are older as well to put this in context, because we stand between history and our future in this moment right now. And I think that this is an important conversation for this reason. When I think about the Bahamas that my parents grew up in, my parents would say, we have a better Bahamas today. When I think about the Bahamas that my daughter is presently growing up in, you might argue that we made a step backward from my experience in the Bahamas has been. At the same time. And that is okay. In some regards, we have regressed. I can accept that. I, however, think it is unfair to say we have regressed generally. Yes, the point that you made about the hospital. Now, notice what you're doing. You're choosing government-controlled institutions. Let's not parse this nation up to make a point that is skewed. And I say that in this way. Doctors Hospital, to my knowledge, the CEO of Doctors Hospital is a black doctor. You can point to places like Atlantis, Bahama, most of the offshore banks, and you can say they are run by either expatriates, I think all of them are, as a matter of fact, run by expatriates. We're not even talking. But to be fair, if you opened a business in the United States as a black Bahamian, don't you want the person to run your foreign business in America to be of your choosing? 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a person who looks like you. But because we are in the majority, we have a view, not saying that it's wrong, that the entire economy, or at least the majority of it, should be represented, that people that look like you and I or have a educational background that qualifies them for that position. I ain't finished with you yet. No.
Boy, you don't want to come. What I got for you,
I keep telling
you may want to use the restroom. What they say in Spanish? El baño.
No, go ahead. I wake up ready. I keep telling you.
Go ahead.
I don't have a slow moment.
Go ahead, quick. Go ahead.
So I'm saying to you, you and I have similar profiles. I came home in 2004. You came home 2 years later in 2006.
Yeah.
All degreed up, right? My trajectory was somewhat different than yours. I ran DHL, many people know, for 8 years as the top person in the Bahamas. I'm a black person. The person who had the job before me was a white expatriate. Okay? I took that over, ran it. You can talk to my staff. I believe, not to toot my own horn, ran it very successfully. Right? I am saying that to say to you, there are many opportunities available that without the majority rule as the precursor to these things, I don't think with all of Darwin's credentials, I could have come back home and even had the opportunity to have that job. Just because a black person, a Bahamian, is not running Atlantis, he failed.
We're going to get to that. Peggy, let me go to these numbers. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family out in 300-5720, or text us at 422-4796. Caller, go ahead, caller.
Don.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're here having a good time on Majority Rule Weekend, they call it.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
I enjoyed Majority Rule Holiday. It wasn't just a holiday for me. That's Garvin.
Garvin, yes, ma'am.
That's Garvin, yes, it is.
Garvin is a smart boy.
Thank you.
I like to listen to him. He's right on point.
Thank you.
He is right on point, you know, so Garvin, keep it up.
Thank you.
Don't let God put you
under
the bus.
No, he's do that. You listening, right? You see how you beat me up sometimes, right?
Don't let God put you under the bus. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Keep it right where you want.
Thank you.
Okay?
Boy, they got to let me beat you. They have from you. The person says, why are Chinese businesses flourishing and successful in inner black communities and black businesses are closing down?
Man, don't get me started.
And failing amongst people who looks like them. Next caller, go ahead quickly, please, and I'm going to give Peggy the mic.
No, I get that. No, I get.
I'll give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. But caller, go ahead, caller.
Mr. Garth Roseboro.
Yes, good evening.
Hey, what's up, brother Rod?
And to your guests and everyone in the studio, to the Bahamas.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you feel like you're living back in 65, you should be one.
I should be what?
Should be somewhere around one or has not been born yet. So, I mean, I know you and I are somewhere in set. But, you know, if you're still living in 90s, you should not be in a studio running a show. All right? So, my friend, you know, but we want you to be fair, my brother. The Bahamas has came a very, very long way, considering after majority rule and everything. So I just think we should be fair. I think we put Bahamians at a disadvantage when we continue to speak that we are not progressing or that we're not advancing.
When you say Bahamians, you're talking about the black Bahamians, or you're talking about all Bahamians? That's what we're talking about there.
Okay, let me say all Bahamians, because if you keep making excuses for Bahamians who do not want to take a hold of their life and advance their life to a higher position, then we're putting all Bahamians at a disadvantage. I mean, I just think it's time for us to teach Bahamians how to pull up their bootstrap, you know, how to tighten their belt, man, and go after life. Because like I said on a former show, God gave sight to the same sight that he gave to the wealthy. What are you going to do with it? What is the wealthy doing that you're not doing? You've got to figure it out.
I can't wait to get on that. I heard you, my brother. It's always good to hear from you. I think you're going to call back again, because when I unleash and respond to you and to Darwin, I got something for y'all, boy. I ain't going to lie. Y'all going to cause me go off and hit today. But I appreciate you calling, my brother. Always good to hear from you. Thank you, Candace.
Yes, sir. Yes,
oh, geez. All us trying to get on the mic now.
I wish I had taken notes when...
yeah, you got to bring your pen and paper for this show. This show ain't easy.
I wish I was taking notes.
That's why I got to call Darwin quick. He quick.
Darwin. But one point, one of the things he said, he talked about leading a private organization. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out that you were speaking to government agencies.
Yes.
You see, it was in 67 that this great hope was stirred up and the black community, mm-hmm. because of what took place politically. Mm-hmm. The expectation of the black majority was that now we get our color ruling over us.
Color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our life would be better. Mm-hmm. You talk about opportunity for black poor. Yes. It's still not fair. Opportunities are there. And I talk about classism, but let's now talk about political opportunity. Because the reality is, I'm going to use a constituency. The member of parliament for this constituency have 3 to 5 individuals that they call generals. And in that constituency, the generals, the inner circle of the member of parliament,
yes.
get all the opportunities. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Every time there's a pie, these greedy hogs take the lump sum. And then you have the little people on the outer skirts. They outsource jobs. You clean. I get the contract. Mm-hmm. But you clean the road, and I give you this month. And the contract might be $50,000, but I can give you one little $5,000, if that much, to do the actual work. So there's still a trickle-down effect of majority food.
Food.
Because we have created in this country a climate of oppression with our politics. And this started from there was a need for free PLP. It wasn't long after this great victory for the minority or the majority that there became a need for black opposition. And the need still is here, because the poor representation, the poor opportunity. I said during the commercial break that there's a misrepresentation or a hijacking. That's my Lutheran all out there.
Actually, you're getting pretty and pretty as you talk. You're expressing yourself, all your eyebrows, your lips curling.
Yes, passion about my people.
Go ahead.
The hijacking of, that's why I thank Perry Christie, you know. He gave me a day off. I wish they would give me August 19 of each year, because that was significant in our history too, especially to a first-time voter like myself, the delivery boy in the liver. So I would really like to celebrate him on every August 19, but that's a different conversation. The majority, this holiday was hijacked. And somebody asked me on my page, when I put up something, I say, thank you for the day off, happy day off. Every year I do that, happy day off and not happy majority rule day. Is it a PLP holiday? And that's how it's presented. Who would ever know that the founder of the PLP was white or not jet black like the rest of us? The history of that story has been hijacked. I saw a professional video came out in celebration. I think it was done by the Progressive Liberal Party. And the commentator said, men like Celinda Oscar-Pinden and Gerald Cash and others. The others wasn't even given an honorary mention. Who would have known that it was 1818 and it took two others? And that Celinda Pinden became the hero when he threw the miss. You see what I'm saying? The old story of what took place has been hijacked, manipulated to control the black people. They created a semi-god and a hero out of one or two men from a group of men, because it took more than one or two men. And so that is why January 10th is always esteemed to be a PLP holiday. The fact that a PLP prime minister made it into holiday. That is why most people go to one graveyard to say thank you. What about the others, whether they're living or dead?
Okay, so I'm gonna let Darwin jump in a text in a minute, but let me do what I do.
Yeah.
This is what I do. And I bet, oh Jesus, I need prayer today.
Y'all pray for me.
No, let me give you these numbers real quick.
And stretch out.
323-4232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Any of the family violence, 300-5720, or text me at 422-4796. Let me go to the base, and let me bring it all the way up.
God be with you.
Pre-1967, we had a UBP party. Yeah. White-led people. We spoke in our conversation today about God and using your talents and using your resources. First of all, are we saying then that those people who were in their adulthood, who were the financial and economic controllers of the day pre-1967, they weren't talking to that same God and using their resources and using their talent to make more money? Because that's what people do. People like to make more money. I'm trying to show that that class of people that we almost seem to want to demonize, they're also human beings. Mm-hmm. They have a right to live. They have a right to progress. They have a right to make more money. They have a right to be wealthy. They have a right to protect their own wealth and to protect their generation and their future generations. Those people had their own rights, even though at that time it was shared abroad that there was some racist and just simply targeting of the minority in terms of skin color, but who was the majority in the country. And we said, you know, that has to change. Because if we change that, and we recognize that Darwin Russell and Peggy Candace and Garth Rose were of this particular skin color, if we can recognize them to be human beings just like us and equal like us, then they would then understand that economically, and this is Darwin's strength, by the way, economically, we could all be like them. You see, the challenge wasn't to be better than them, you know. The challenge was that we just wanted what they had. We wanted to be just like them. But to be like them, we had to level the playing field.
Okay.
So I say, I got you, Peggy. I know your brain going. So this whole 1967 thing wasn't so much about the African descended individuals lording over the Caucasian people,
right,
or the Chinese people or the Filipino or German people that actually resided here pre-1967.
I agree.
This was all about opportunity. Mm-hmm. Can we have fair opportunity? Mm-hmm. In so doing, in our fair opportunity, we had a majority of our skin color,
yes,
in the House of Assembly at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought for that equal opportunity. That's what happened.
Yes.
1967. They were fighting for that. I think in the first maybe 10 years, we see a somewhat leveling of the field. Mm-hmm. We saw where, like, the days of Sahari Oaks was behind us, and, you know, Sir Stafford Sands was behind us. So we were moving into the Sir Lyndon and the Clement T. Maynards and the A.D. Hannahs and the Cecil Waters Whitfields. And all these people are now coming on stream and building quickly.
Yes.
You say, you know what? This new day is here. This is a new day, you know. This is the new day back, like, around 1977. This is supposed
still
to be
the new day.
The new day. But it's just reaching here in 2024, 25, and we still ain't opened the door yet for the new day. But we good. We can get there in a minute. Then we see where the Caucasian class in this country were almost pushed to the outskirts. Spanish Wells, Marshall Harbor, Abaco, Long Island. Am I right or wrong yet? Mm-hmm. I'm still on target?
You're still on target.
And no majority black people complain about that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't now about equality and opportunity now. Nobody even cared about them to also have equality and opportunity. What was cared about is we got to try and grab what we could grab while we could grab it. So everybody is just grabbing and snatching. And then there were those, as Peggy just said a while ago, who were the hogs. The hogs were snatching everything and saying, you know what, you my boy, let me give you a slice of the cake over here, but you go give the crumbs to the rest of them out there and tell them be happy. So what then happened was those hogs, those hogs became the oppressors, as she said, not only to our own people, but also oppressing the Caucasian and the Chinese and the Germans and everybody else who resided here pre-1967. I'm not even talking about 1973 yet. Pre-1967, these people had rights to grow and to prosper and to praise God in this country. After all of this, we never looked back to celebrate with them what we are now today. There was a whole break, and I know Darwin could appreciate this, there was a break in our relationship with these people who actually established our country pre-1967. So there's a history gap in there where the stories that they're telling their children are not the stories that we're telling our children.
All the stories that are being taught.
I mean, I preaching too quick or too early? I need to cool down a little bit?
The stories that are being taught.
So when you tell me about majority rule days, you just said a while ago, who were these heroes and what was the story?
What is the story?
We got a story and we say, you know what? They fought for the Bahamas to be the way it is. So when I look at what the Bahamas was then, man, you should see those pictures, man. Straw Market. You should see downtown Bay Street, the horse and carriage, the Surrey rides. Man, it was beautiful. Clean. I mean, just clean. And we were the jewel of the Caribbean. And today, we look at the Bahamas now, we talk about the private sector. Even in the private sector, who's your people? What party they belong to? Mm-hmm. What church they go to? The segregation that exists. Even, I'll tell you how I know, Darwin Russell, that racism hasn't gone anywhere in this country. You know, the Caucasian people say, oh, Lord, they don't check for us. We got our own communities, the Greek community and the Italian community and the German community. But look in our own circle, in your own family. Who got light skin? Who got dark skin? Who bleaching and who ain't bleaching?
In school.
Who got long hair? Who got short hair? Who work in the bank and who working in super? They don't even work in super value no more. But I'll tell you why, Darwin Russell. Let me go quickly to this so I can just open the mics to everybody. You're celebrating the majority of 1967. You with me so far?
I am.
In the next 15, 20 years, and I'm going to say it just boldly today, when the Haitian community becomes the doggone clear majority, and they rule, I want to know today in Jesus' name. I never called Jesus' name on this mic yet, but I got to call it today so y'all could know how serious I am. Because if I don't call his name, I can cuss you today. if my God, you got me stammering today. When the Haitian community becomes the majority, because they make it more children than you, their numbers can be twice what yours is. And they're going to be in parliament because they're already in super value. I already see them in super wash. Huh? I didn't see them all over in the banks, or the police force, the customs, the immigration. You want me to go down the line for y'all? Tomorrow can be pure hell in this country, and half the people who are protesting tomorrow, they probably Haitian descent. And in 10, 15, 20 years, I guarantee they're going to be the majority. And then tell me, are you going to celebrate that? Are you prepared to celebrate fairly? I'm going to use the word fairly. Fairly, as you are now saying that it's now fair. It's a fair day of celebration now, marking what significantly happened in 1967. So when these people go and have their day of significance, where does that leave you? Are you going to feel as if someone doing you something bad? You think you could be mad that they now in charge? And then what if, just say what if, we have an influx of Europeans that come to this country, or Americans that come to this country based on this whole New World Order. And we have a majority of Italians coming into this country. And you then become the minority. And they want to have a day of celebration for the fact that they now own the Bahamas. Are you going to celebrate that too? Every time you feel as if you're the bigger man in the room, you need to celebrate that? I'm trying to get to the essence and significance of your celebration. Because see, for me, let me just clarify myself because you're going to say he's crazy. The celebration for me is this, Darvin Russell. When you want to celebrate, show me the success in controlling violence and crime in my country. When you want to celebrate, show me the educational level of our people in this country. I don't want to have no D-grade average no more. When you celebrate, man, you do better, is what I'm trying to say to you. When you want to talk about celebration, show me how the roads are paved and clean, and you got private communities, and you got flowers on the side of the road, and you got fruit trees and mango trees growing on the side of the road, so when the tourists come, they can stop and get something to eat on the side of the road that is native to the Bahamas. Show me a plan, show me a vision, because when you have a birthday party, when you have a celebration, when you have an anniversary, there has to be something to offer that is just simply beautiful. And what I'm seeing here now is, it ain't beautiful, man. It ain't beautiful. It ain't beautiful. What I'm seeing now is chaos. And Darvin, he said it correctly, there's the private sector, there's the government sector, but the government sector is showing us what? And in the private sector, how many of us are going to have those jobs in the private sector to say, this is a beautiful experience? We homeless, man. We are homeless. Our banks are owned by foreign entities in 2025. This is what you want to celebrate? We'll be back after this.
Solomon Smart Rewards is the ultimate way to save and earn rewards on all your grocery purchases. With Smart Rewards, you will enjoy exclusive discounts and offers redeemable for all your favorite products. Whether you're shopping in Nassau, Freeport, or Exuma, our loyalty program is designed to give you the best value and earn you rewards every time you shop. Sign up for My Solomon Smart Rewards today and start saving and earning big.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Man, listen. Folks, this just got to be mischievous me at the beginning of the year. If you were in the studio with us, you would see that, my God, the conversation is so much more hot in this room. My producer, Wally, was in here a while ago having a conversation with us, and everyone was with. Peggy has her side, and Darwin has her side. I have my side, but guess what's important? You need to have your side. So yes. Come on, give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720. Or you can text at 422-4796. Now, I knew I went off. I knew I threw a lot of bait out in the water. Something that I threw in that water had to catch your attention. And, you know, this is what I do because it's all a setup, folks. I am going to set you up. And guess what? At the end of the show, remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9, I'm going to get you. Peggy Candace, the mic is yours.
Okay. And so you said something, and everything that you were saying, the thing that jumped out to me was, they want to be like them. But that was the story of the new black leaders. They wanted to be like the white ones they replaced.
That's George Orwell. Animal Farm. They want to be like the farmer.
Yeah. In my opinion, and Bahamians, in my opinion, prefer to be ruled over or oppressed by the people of the same color of the skin. We still have it. We still have a name branding in this country. This person. Child and this person, child, and they're all politically connected. And we look at them, not we, some people look at them mm-hmm. as Bahamian royalty because they're the child or grandchild of a founder of relating to 1967. Mm. But if you grew up like I grew up in Gregorytown, Eleuterio, mm-hmm. if you grew up on a family island, mm-hmm. your story will be totally different.
Right.
Your story will be not one of liberation, but your story will be being oppressed by people of your same color.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
Which island are we talking about?
I can only talk about Gregorytown, Eleuterio. I am the product of that oppression.
So who oppressed you?
Not me. My mother and her sisters. Because they refused to support. And my mother had four little girls. And she was fired from the slaughterhouse in Atchit Bay, Eleuterio, her and her sister.
Fired? Who fired her?
Because the saviors of the time, the Progressive Liberal Party, if you don't support us, and it'll get so deeper, I'm from the settlement of the late George Lyman Thompson, Senator George Lyman Thompson, one of the free PLPs that became the FNM. I'm from his hometown. And so many of his people in his hometown supported him. And so if you did not support at that time, you were oppressed. You were punished. My family lived through that. I'm a survivor of that. I'm 52. When I joined the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, it was a time in our history that you could not get employment without your MP. Notification, certification, verification.
Was 67 supposed to erase these things?
Supposed to make it equal field.
Once
you qualify yourself. And in those times, 1988, 89, having BJCs and GCs was the best qualification.
Yes.
Judy's daughter was told she was overqualified. She was overqualified for... Bahamas Air was a big place for Eleuterio employment.
That's where Bethel was from, Eleuterio. Philip
Bethel, the Reverend now.
Uh-huh.
The post office, Trince. Judy's daughter, because she was Judy. Who's your mother? Judy Johnson.
And I always talk about this.
Okay. So, I live this.
So the end of the qualifications.
And listen, when I came on a flight, and I happened to came on a flight with the then Member of Parliament, Philip Bethel, and I was in my Royal Bahamas Defense Force number 3s because I worked that night and went straight to the airport. My training told me once I recognize a Member of Parliament, I am to salute him. So I walk in the front of him. Mm. Sharp salute.
Mm-hmm.
Little Gregorytown gal, can't wait to show off my accomplishment, my first trip home when I went in uniform. His big question was, who is that? Mm-hmm. It's Judy Judd from Gregorytown. How's she getting that uniform? Because God eyed me on this wing.
So what I want to say then, pre-1967, I'm going to give Darwin the microphone. So pre-1967, even though it, in our estimation, as we know life to be now, it was probably difficult. I use the word probably because I wasn't there. But it was probably difficult then for people to esteem themselves, like people like Milo Butler and those type people, based on your color. And I mean, if you were qualified, you couldn't get in the bank. That's what I understood. You couldn't become an educator that easily based on your educational level pre-1967. So after 1967, you're saying to me that it still exists where it isn't about your qualifications only. It's also about who your allegiance is to.
But politically, and that was my experience in 1990. I graduated in 88, spent an extra year, 89,
mm-hmm.
and looked for employment. In 1990, I came to New Providence.
So 23 years after majority rule, we were still having the same issues we had pre-1967.
Yeah, and I was 18 when I came to Nassau.
I see Darwin looking at me. Darwin, put it on your mind. Let me let you talk.
I got that, Peggy.
And I was employed
uh-huh.
by a yogurt store by a white English lady who's now Bahamian, but she originated white. Beautiful mm-hmm. Sarah Hug,
mm-hmm.
who treated me with respect. When it came time for me to do my placement and interviews for the Royal Bahamas Defense, so she said, Peggy, they can come right here. She didn't try to hold me down. She said, I'm going to miss you, but this is an opportunity for you. She didn't try to end what was going on. That was a white woman. You know, my worst experience of employment came from this skin.
But you know what I'm listening to you say? Okay. And I can let Darwin jump in. You Bahamian people are a mess. A total mess. You know why I say that? All the horror stories you all tell people about roots and slavery and all the rest of the other talk about hardships and oppression, I understand it exists. It's a very ugly thing. Take my word for it, it's a very ugly thing. Yes? But you talk to the average person on the street, they got some good white friends. They love white people. Oh, they love Caucasian people. If they got white friends, that makes them feel so important. And then to flip the coin on you, everyone you know got one good Haitian. Even though y'all want to talk bad about Haitian people, that's my Haitian. I think the point I'm trying to make here is not one to just be racial, Darwin. It's simply to say that as a Bahamian people, I believe the celebration of speaking about is all about me. It isn't about the nation. But it has to be all about me. When the founding fathers established, I think they established on a good foot. They had good intentions for equality and opportunity. But then it became a story about me. And so in 2025, Darwin Russell, I'm watching us celebrate this holiday on the 10th of January, right? And I'm saying to myself, is this a celebration about the nation and the progress that we have made, the steps that we have made? Or is this just simply a celebration about me and what I could do and what I could get? Because many of us, we ain't got nothing, Darwin Russell. We haven't gone anywhere. So should we take the day off to celebrate, or should we find ways to make our country better on this particular day? Maybe we should have gone into our schools, and on this particular day, if it okay. happens during the week, we could teach Bahamian history on this day in all the schools in the Bahamas. That's the way I would like to see a celebration too, where we could educate our young people as to where we came from and where we're heading. But right now, to take a day off and be drinking and having a good time, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm asking now, in your celebration, is the significance still before us that this country came from yesterday and we're heading into tomorrow? Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, let me turn the radio down a second.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon, God, and good afternoon to get.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother. How's everything?
Everything's all right. Just sitting back, listening to the conversation, loving the lady in there.
That's Miss Peggy Candace, and you know I got my right hand, Darwin Russell, on the side of me.
Yeah, I love a perspective, God, because I don't remember when I think you were on Howard Show, and I was telling you that the so-called founding fathers get too much praise, undeserving praise, and that they didn't really do anything that we can look at today that say like how the lady said, you know, we hold them almost like demigods, like God, you know, like royalty, mm-hmm. but for what? And I told you, God, that the only thing that they did was that they set up the black oligarchy, that they mm-hmm. established for themselves a legacy. And like the lady was saying, to this day, we still refer to so-and-so children as so-and-so. You know, so, you know, like, we just need to quit with this, what they call revisionist history. revised.
Tell the truth.
Mm. You still there?
What they need to do is tell the truth. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm.
Tell the truth. Probably take the week of the 10th. Whatever week the 10th fall in, middle, beginning, end. And tell the truth to the children. Tell a generation of Bahamians the truth. Because at 52, I'm finding out that I was not taught the truth.
Oh, yeah?
No, I was taught about this great man who did all these miraculous things for this country like it was only his one. Tell us the truth. Because if you, I don't know what's on your phone, but what is on my phone is TUC president said, tell us, member, enjoy the next 2 days. It's no white people running this nation at this time. But you have 14 unions wanting to stay home Monday and Tuesday because they say their government is not hearing their cry.
All right, so you and Garth had a long run.
Yeah. You're on IRS.
No. So I appreciate everything that was said, and I don't take the perspectives that both you and Peggy have lightly. But let me circle this back. I always like to tell people we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And two things can be true that seem diametrically opposed to one another.
Okay.
I am not going to negate Peggy's experience or that of her family because that was her experience.
Yes.
And I believe her to be a truthful woman. So that there's no reason for her to lie about the history of her family and her experience. At the same time, Peggy was having issues with the PLP in Eleuthera. I was doing fine in Nassau. Peggy and I are actually the same age. I went to Prince William. I graduated in 1988 as head boy. I spent 2 years at the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the one and only government job that I had. Still to this day, I think I'm the youngest serving employee at the Central Bank of the Bahamas. Did that for 2 years. Never experienced. Never experienced some of the things that Peggy experienced, but I'm not going to negate that because my dad is from Andros and I know a lot of her stories to be comparable to what Androsians experienced, okay? But I went on to university in 1990, graduated in 1994, and didn't come back home until 2004. So I came home to vote in the magical 1992 election, as Peggy talks about, to usher in Mr. Ingram's first cabinet. I don't diminish that the challenges that we still face as a country have been brought upon us by the very class of people that we had hoped would deliver us. I accept that. But I must also accept that even if they didn't want it to be, mm-hmm. that the creation of the oligarchs still benefited those of us that ate the crumbs from the master's table. Because prior to 67, they wiped the crumbs up and threw them in the trash. So whether you agree or disagree with majority rule, that's for you and yours. The principle of the day, the purpose and the significance of the day, to me is still valid. It still provided an opportunity for me and mine that I do not believe I would have had. Now, I asked my sister, we were having a conversation on Saturday that I think turned out to be quite relevant for the audience to ponder today and for you two in the studio. And I asked my sister, and we were having a great conversation as usual on Saturday at my parents' house. And I said to her, I said, sis, you know, I wonder if, because now we're old enough to say we can look back on our lives and see what we have accomplished to date. And I said to her, I said, I wonder if when we as people look back on our lives, do we believe that the place we find ourselves is a function of our decisions or the things that were decided for us? And I want you to think about that. For all of the challenges that we have as a nation, for all of the political cronyism, for all of the friends, family, and lovers, for all of the retardation that we've had in certain sectors and in certain ministries and in certain communities and in certain opportunities. I wonder if you can say to yourself that you are where you are because of what you've done or not done, or because of what someone did to you. I can honestly say that more of Darvin's position in life has to do with what God and Darvin have done and the sacrifices my parents and siblings have made collectively and my family's support than it is for anything that somebody did to me.
Okay.
So I think we have evolved enough as a people. And if we call ourselves a Christian nation, and for those of us that believe in God, these two things, however, cannot be true. God cannot be in control of your life, and you also be subject to the whims of man.
Well,
I believe that whatever happens to you, God allows.
Of course.
But you cannot say that the position you find yourself in is because of this man's oppression upon you. That's my humble
belief.
God
hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Thank you.
Okay, so
God hardened Pharaoh's heart just to punish
him. I didn't even take 1.5 hours we could be able to do, and I don't even know if we got enough time tonight to get into this.
How long you been stirring up this BS?
Don't worry.
Listen to
him. I want
to
ask him one thing.
You heard this man just said, hey, you heard what he just said? Take that statement now, pre-1967 then. The same statement.
Yeah.
About God.
God allowing.
And oppression.
Yes.
And allowing. Yes. Let's talk about that pre-1967. Yes. Who stopped you from growing pre-1967? Sidney Poitier was gone a long time. He already took care of his situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My mother went off to college in North Carolina before that.
Yeah.
You know, 67 stopped my ma. You understand?
And America wasn't friendly.
So God allows.
Milo Putnam was successful before 1967.
Yes.
Pillenos went to school before 67.
Correct.
So people took it under their own energy from the creator.
That's correct.
And made something of themselves. So why did we have to change it in 67?
Why
couldn't everybody else just put their shoulders to the wheel and ask God to say, you know what, push me through to be a greater and a better person?
No, because
we needed a societal change. We wanted a systematic change.
Correct.
And today we're celebrating
this
systematic change that we made.
Yes.
Look at what he getting about this. Where what he going?
Yeah, but you said something. How long did you work for Central Bank?
2 years before I went to school.
I worked 15 years.
Okay.
4 months.
At Central Bank too?
The Central Bank of the Bahamas.
Okay.
Yes.
I she liked to work hard.
And was fired without explanation.
Oh my.
January 31st. Listen to the date. 2017. 40 years after my mother's was fired. Mummy, blog about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly 40 years after me and my sisters was fired from the slaughterhouse. My daughter was fired from the Central Bank. Same group of people.
Wow. Wow.
So how is that possible? 2000, I think mommy was fired in 1977. I would have been 5 and my younger sister would have been 2.
Yes.
And that's 2 children out of 4 adult girls.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it? What happened to her in 1977 happened to me.
In 2017.
In 27.
And like I said,
oppression.
Both things can be true.
Uh-huh.
I don't negate the fact that these things are still happening. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, that doesn't mean we don't recognize and celebrate Majority Rule Day.
As
a national holiday.
For Peggy Candace.
Yes.
I cannot look at 1967.
Yes.
And the transfer of rule from one minority group to another minority group. That's a good thing for my life.
I understand.
And for my family, if others could testify the same.
I understand that.
Because our oppressors
just
and those
colors.
Who victimized us, no, they ain't changed no color because I was born in 72.
Okay.
That took place a few years
prior to you. Okay,
yes.
No.
And so.
I'm just saying, historically speaking.
Yeah, but my oppressors and victimizers of my family.
Yes.
What's the national savers who you want me to celebrate on January 10th of each year?
I accept that.
It is almost impossible. That's why I have to say happy day off. Because on that day, I am angry.
Mm-hmm.
I am angry at the role that history played in my life and in my family life and many family life, especially family islanders.
Yes.
And so where some people see a God and a father of a nation, we see an abusive father.
Oh, people, listen, man, our time is slim. I know we got another show coming on right after this with Lady T. I want to read some of these texts, but I'm going to read them carefully. I see some heavy words in here, but we don't use on Sunday. But I could try and read this quickly, Darvin. Oh, you want to try and read
you read that.
Okay.
I don't know how to block out them things.
Let me read the easy one for a second. It says here, majority rule, or was it majority fool? Great topic. Majority can be a good thing if the majority benefited. Make the wealth common for all and not for a few. Amen. Keep preaching. You are on the right target. Now let's get into some of this Hebrew and Greek. Why are Chinese businessmen flourishing? This is something you said you want to deal with later.
Sure.
And successful in inner black communities.
Customers?
And black businesses are closing down and failing amongst people who looks like them. We went from the Bay Street Boys to the Sunshine Boys.
Yes.
Okay.
Who go into these Chinese shops?
You want me to answer?
Black people go into these Chinese shops.
We need to stop settling for the little and demand the right. The male guest said something about crumbs while we're supposed to be sitting at the table. Majority rule changed nothing but the faces and leadership. Nothing else changed from prior to it or after independence. This one here now. Bring back Charles, or UB Peterson, one of your illusion people. because these educated, and they use the word Negroes, makes no sense. Pinling did us a disservice. Mm-hmm. Never was this bad under the UBP.
Yeah.
Pinling sold us a dream and sold average folk up the river. We only have majority control of the voting system, but we own majority nothing. We're the majority in poverty. Garth, I agree with you, Garth. The Bahamas I grew up in has definitely regressed in moral standards, manners, and the list goes on. We have no pride, like you say. The beaches are not the same. The state of the country is unkempt. Peggy, you write on point. Even independence is considered a PLP occasion. All, but Jesus, they got epiphany here. let me see here. All they do is play the racism card to continue to control the masses.
Yes.
Okay, that's another text. This other one says, God speak it. The Haitians soon take over because Bahamians are allowing it. The Haitians are schooling their children while we run behind the new day. Well, Darvin Russell, Peggy, I'll let you have some closing remarks.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we ever have enough time on this show. If you want to be a part of the show and you want to sponsor the show, please contact Guardian Radio so we can get some more time. But go right ahead, Darvin Russell. Let's see if we can.
I'll only respond to the Chinese comment. The others were just statements to me, but I just wanted to anchor a point there. So why is it that Chinese businesses are successful in the Bahamas versus black businesses seemingly not? Once again, you cannot extrapolate your own perspective and say that we all are having this as an experience. Two things can be true at the same time. The Chinese success in the Bahamas is the success of an immigrant community. Not that Chinese are always successful or that black people are always unsuccessful, right? Black people, Nigerians, Ghanaians, Bahamians, Jamaicans go foreign and are successful in foreign lands. Some are unsuccessful in their own nations. That's the nature of immigrant populations. Now, the reason black businesses fail in the Bahamas is the reason any business of any color fails anywhere. It's a multitude of things. So I don't want us to get hung up on the fact that you sometimes see the Chinese don't seem to close. Part of that is cultural. How many of you as people of color want to live multiple people to one house, make those kind of financial sacrifices that they make, pool resources? These are a function of good, healthy business practices that happen to be germane to that culture. Now, You want to be a successful black business people? Follow successful business principles. That's all I would say.
Peggy, you laid it on us today. You laid it on us today.
It's that.
Okay.
If you want black ran business to succeed, support black run businesses and not Chinese.
Support good black run businesses.
He said good. Okay. I say support black
run. But isn't that racist again?
No. I answering the question. Why do they succeed? They succeed. Chinese succeed because your black behind goes to the Chinese shop.
You think so?
That's why. Every black person stop going to the Chinese shop. Most of the Chinese restaurants are now liquor stores because that's what they think of us. But keep them drunk and stupid. They learn from us. They learn from us. Oh, keep them drunk and stupid. Instead of feeding them Chinese rice, give them rum. So most of the Chinese restaurants are now liquor stores and very cheap liquor, I understand. I have a friend, he refuses to patronize anything. They refuse to patronize anything Chinese. So if you want to see the results of black power, don't go to the Chinese establishment.
I bet you they're the first one to go there.
Don't go to the establishment. Listen, folks, have the power.
Our country at this particular time in our history is extremely complex.
It is.
In 2025, we're celebrating majority rule, and we still have not solved the real issue of our country. This discussion that we're having today, this can go on and on. It's very, very complex. I want to use the word complex again.
Yeah.
But you know what? As long as we continue to discuss this, sit down, put our hands together, our minds together, and more importantly, our prayers together,
yes,
I'm almost certain that one day the majority that rules in this country is going to be smart, intelligent people, resourceful people, progressive people, a united people, and a people to be recognized in this universe. Thank you all so much for coming again.
Remarkable.
I had a great time here today. I mean, we a lot of energy, folks, but this is Remark. We're out of here. Stay tuned for Lady T. She's going to have a wonderful show for you today. Y'all have a good one.
So don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got so much things to say. But I not come to fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So while they fight you down, stand firm and give Jah thanks and praises. Cause I do expect to be justified by the laws of men. By the laws of men. Oh, you may find me guilty, but prove my innocence. Oh, when the rain falls, all now, it won't fall and one man's house stop. Remember that. When the rain falls, it won't fall on one man's house stop. They sing in so very much, so very much. So much things to say. They got so much things to say right now. Yeah, they got so much things to say. I and I love come to fight flesh and blood.